Good morning. We're continuing our sermon series in the book of Ephesians, and also our theme for the year of being connected. Four areas of connection that we're really asking you to pray about and be engaged in. Number one, that you are connected to God personally, that you are finding daily time, not just connecting on Sunday mornings, but connecting to God every day that He blesses you with to live on this planet. That you connect with God through His Word, that you are spending time letting God's Word live in you, that you also are getting connected to your calling, that God has a call on every one of our lives. He has a plan for a future and a hope, and very few people stop and realize that. They think their calling is just to salvation, but the calling is greater than that. And that we're also connected to one another, to the church, the body of Christ, that we have a church family, just like we're connected to our physical families. This last weekend, we got to do that together forever as we celebrated marriage. It was a great event. This room was packed out. A great, great time. You got to see Drew Finley in hair, which was pretty cool. If you weren't here, you need to see the pictures. All right. It was cool. But I want to say thank you to our students. A lot of you in our student ministry did a great job. You were servants to our married couples. And man, you did it well. It was a great job. And I really appreciate you showing up. Speaking of connecting, we don't have a problem being connected. It's just we have a problem being connected to the right things. Recent research was done, and it showed that we are connected. The problem is we're connected to devices, but not to each other and not to the Lord. You see the picture on the screen, and that's life everywhere. It doesn't matter where you go. You'll always see somebody on a screen. Doesn't matter if it's on a date, if it's on a restaurant, if it's at work, if it's walking down the street. Wherever it might be, you'll find people connected. The research shows that the heaviest smartphone users today click, tap, or swipe on their phones, listen to this, over 5,000 times a day. 5,000 times a day. You say, that's impossible. No, we've already done it hundreds of times already this morning, just getting started in this day. We're tapping, swiping, clicking. The average user is about 2,600 times a day. They tell us that adds up to about a million different connections to a screen in 1 year. So it's not a problem of getting connected. The problem is, where are we connecting? In James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, come near to God, connect to God, and He will connect to you, or He will come near to you. Our desire in 2024 is not to connect to church and just show up on Sundays, but it's to come nearer to God every day, connecting with God, connecting with His calling, and connecting with one another. We also want to connect with our community, and there's a great way to do that over the next few weeks. As we're heading towards Easter, it's hard to believe Easter is so early this year. It's almost right on the back of Christmas, it seems like. But in 4 weeks, we'll be celebrating the resurrection of Christ on Easter Sunday. We'll have Good Friday service the Friday before at 6 p.m., on Easter Sunday, we'll have 3 worship services and no Sunday school. So we're going to ask you to come to the worship service where you would normally go to your small group time. So whatever hour that is, if you be a part of that, if that doesn't work for you, you come to any one of the 3 services. And then to get ready for that, we are going to practice what Paul's been preaching to us in Ephesians, our walk. It's called prayer walking. Prayer walking, if you've never done it, is something we do every time we go on a mission trip. And if we're honest about our calling in Christ, we're on a mission trip every day we wake up. Whether it's going to school tomorrow, going to work, going back to our neighborhoods or to a restaurant here in a moment, we're always on mission. And whenever we're doing our mission trips, we are always prayer walking everywhere we go. As we walk, we pray for God's favor. We pray for God's direction. We pray for God's connections. And God works powerfully. Why would we do that more on foreign soil than we would our own soil? Why would we be just concerned about certain parts of the globe and not where God has planted us? And so we got a conviction that we need to be prayer walking in our neighborhood. So we want to invite you today, come out at 4 o'clock to the children's building. We're going to go through a basic workshop that kind of looks at what prayer walking is, how you can be a part of that ministry in our church. We do it on Saturdays or Sundays. You get to pick your day. You get to pick a street back in our neighborhood that you adopt and be a part of that. Today, we'll finish by prayer walking just around our church building, and we'll be praying for every ministry area of this church. I want to invite you to come and be a part of that, every one of us, no matter how young or how old. Well, let's pick up where we left off last Sunday. We transitioned in chapter 4 to Paul now drawing his attention, our attention, into the reality of who Christ is in us. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. First three chapters we looked at, we've studied all that we are in Christ, what God has done to transform us from a life that was owned by sin to now becoming the saints of God with a new calling, a new life, a new walk, and a new relationship with God. So the first three chapters about who we are in Christ. Now we start looking at who is Christ in you. And few Christians ever come to truly understand what Paul is teaching in these last three chapters. Oh, they've heard over and over again how you can place your faith in Christ, how you can be saved in Christ, you can be forgiven in Christ, but few have been taught how to live their new life in the power of Christ. And that's what Paul is teaching. So let's go back and review in case you weren't here last week. Look at verse 1. He says, I, a prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy. There's the challenge. As he talks about what they now have received in Christ, he now talks about how to walk this life in Christ. It's not enough just to receive God's grace. That grace not only transforms you, but now it empowers you for what God wants to do through you. Our challenge is found in Psalm chapter 81. Hold your place in Ephesians. We're going to keep going all through a bunch of different ways that Paul addresses our walk. But look at Psalm 81 in verse 10. Psalm 81. The psalmist reflects on what has been true historically with the people of God, in this case, Israel. He's going to paint the picture of what it was like when they cried out to God when they were connected in bondage in Egypt and wanted to be connected to freedom. And so we find this reality. Scripture says, I, the Lord, am your God. I'm the one who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people, listen to this. He ain't talking about the Egyptians. He ain't talking about the pagans. He's talking about the very ones that had just been blessed by the power of God in deliverance. He says, my people did not listen to my voice, and Israel did not obey me. So I gave them over to the stubbornness of their hearts. Notice, this is talking about the people of God. That we can easily be turned over to the hardness of our hearts. That we too can get hard in our hearts towards the things of God or the ways of God. Israel did it. It happens in the church today. We can all fall to that. And it says, here's the result. We end up walking in our own devices. That's not talking about a mobile device. The devices are the things that we would rather give our energy to, our love to, our affection, than we do the God who created us, the God who saved us, and the God who brought us out of our bondage. And God's people can find themselves walking in the wrong direction and pursuing the wrong things. And God will turn you over to the desires of your heart. If you desire Him, He'll draw close. If you desire everything but Him, He'll turn you over to that. And sadly today, there are many in the church who desire their own devices more than they desire God and His ways. You see, our walk, as I said earlier, our walk is really a better picture of our worship. And in our walk, wherever we're walking, it is a reflection of what we do worship. If we are walking after the things of God, it shows that you worship God. If you're walking after your own devices, it shows that you're worshiping the things of this world. So we saw last week, as he says, walk in a manner that is worthy. Here's what that walk looks like. Verse 2. We're back in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2. Here's what it looks like. Humility, gentleness, patience, tolerance for one another in love. It sounds like your morning getting ready for church and your drive to church, doesn't it? Isn't that what it looked like this morning? No? I see parents looking at kids. I see kids looking down at the floor. That's what life should look like. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So as we look at this worthy walk, here's the snapshot. Look at the next slide. Here are the things that he highlighted. All those things are a result of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. That list is literally a picture of the fruit of the Spirit. So if those things are coming out of my walk, the reason they're coming out of my walk is because I'm walking in the Spirit. If those things aren't coming from my life, the reason is I'm walking after my own devices. So do a look. Take a peek at the list. Does that look like your walk this past week? And if it doesn't, it's because you were walking in your own strength, in your own flesh, and not in the power of the Holy Spirit. So Paul goes on to continue to teach. Drop down, verse 17. So this I say, affirm and together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their minds. As he tells them to walk in a manner that's worthy, he shows them what that looks like. It's the Holy Spirit alive in you. And then he says, or you can walk like the Gentiles. You can walk like you used to walk. And all of us struggle with that every single day. The preacher who preaches this very moment, I've struggled with this all week long. I will struggle with it till the day I go to be with Jesus. It is a daily battle that Paul alludes to in Scripture. And if we don't understand the lessons he teaches us today, you will walk in your flesh and you will be defeated in your walk for Christ. But in Psalm 26, the psalmist said, you don't have to turn there. He said, Lord, I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Would we be able to sing that song? That was literally a song sung to the Lord, a confession. Lord, I've walked in my integrity because I've trusted in you unwaveringly. How many of us have wavered this past week? How many of us have walked in a manner that was less than worthy? Well, it's not because we want to. It's because we're not equipped to walk in a worthy way. So Paul is going to equip us. Let him do that now. Let's transition. He keeps talking about it. Go to the next chapter. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 now and verse 1. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. He keeps talking about this thing called our walk. He says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. He now says that not only is our walk to be in a manner that's worthy and humble and gentle and kind, but also it shows up in the way that we love other people. Walk in love just as Christ also loved you. So now he tells you what that looks like. Our lives should look just like the life of Christ that walked on this earth, gave up his life for those who didn't deserve it. Now, I want you to think about something for a moment. Is there anybody in your life that you're loving right now that doesn't deserve it? Is there anybody in your life right now that you are focusing on to love them to Christ? They don't deserve it. They haven't earned it. But you're giving up your life for them. Look at what it says. Love them as Christ loved you and gave himself up for us as an offering, as a sacrifice to God, as a fragrant aroma. Our walk is our worship, and our walk should be the Spirit of God alive in us. And if the Spirit of God is alive in us, then his love will shine through us. It's not enough just to receive his love. It's not just enough to say, oh, God loves me. God, thank you for loving me. Receive that love and do nothing with it. That love changes us. That love fills us, and that love should be flowing from us. Not only should it show up in our love, but it should show up in our lips. Look at verse 3. He goes on to say, not only is it the way you love other people, but also the way you speak to people. He says, so there should be no immorality or impurity or greed must not be named among you as is proper among the saints. There must be no filthiness, no silly talk, no coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but instead we should be giving thanks. What if we had a event where we all showed up and the entertainment was your Snapchat feed or whatever social media you might be doing? I know it disappears supposedly, but it was out there for a moment. And whatever posts we made, whatever we have said, now that wasn't with our lips we typed it, but it's what we were speaking into somebody else's life. And that was just scrolling one after another. Would that be worthy of the Lord? Or do we find ourselves coarse jesting? Do we find ourselves talking just like the Gentiles and having the same coarse jokes and the same kind of conversations that you might hear outside of Christ. Our walk shows up as our worship. Our walk shows up in our love. Our walk shows up in our lips, the things that we say, the things that we do. Power of life and death is in the tongue. He goes on, he keeps talking about our walk. Go down to verse 8 now. And he says, as you walk, as you talk, be light in this world. Look at it. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Because my life is in Christ, that means Christ is in me. Well, guess what lives in me now? The holiness of God, and the holiness of God lives through me. I'm now the light to a dark world because the light of the Lord is in me. So he says, walk as children of light. We should walk different from the world. It should look different. It should be according to the light, not according to the darkness. And yet, isn't it strange that the children of the light still struggle with darkness? Every person in this room, every person, including the one bringing this message, struggles with darkness. We're going to see why here in just a minute, but look at what he says. He says, try to learn what is pleasing the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Instead, expose them. Now, that's not pointing your finger at darkness. That's shining your light into it. It's showing a different way. It's showing a life that doesn't need those dark things. It is setting an example that there can be joy and peace in the Lord, not in the trash of this world. It is a different way of living life. So he goes to verse 14 and says, awake, sleeper, arise from the dead. Let Christ shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but be wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So Paul spends the last part of this letter, first part, this is who you are in Christ. Next part is our responsibility to let Christ be alive in us. Don't live like you used to live. Don't compromise. Don't go to the dark side, but let the light of the Lord show up in your walk. How does that happen? What does that look like? Well, go over to Galatians now. Turn over to another book. We're in Ephesians. Go to a book back, Galatians. It's right before the book of Ephesians. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Anybody know who wrote the book of Galatians? Hello? Paul, same one who wrote Ephesians. Now we wake up in Galatians, another letter to the churches, and guess what he's going to talk about? Our walk. He was constantly encouraging the church to know Christ, but then as you know Christ in salvation, to live in the power of the Holy Spirit, to let the Spirit of God show up in your walk. Watch it. Go to verse 16. He says, but I say, walk for God. Is that what he says? Does he say, do good things for God? Does he say, try harder? He says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of your flesh. Look at what he just said. If you will walk by the Spirit, you'll not sin. Did you know you have the capacity not to sin? He said, that's impossible. Not according to Paul, and not according to the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the problem. Here's where it breaks down. This is why we get confused. Let's be honest. How many times have we tried to do the spiritual thing and failed? How many times have we tried to be more spiritual? How many times have we said to God, God, if you'll forgive me one more time, I'll do better? That's your problem. That was my problem. That is my problem. When I try to be spiritual, that's the problem. You see, if we could be spiritual, Jesus would have never had to come to this earth. If there was a possibility for man to do spiritual things, Jesus would have never had to die. But we're spiritually dead. And that's why Christ died, to give us life, but also, as he told his disciples, to give you an advantage. He said, it's to your advantage that I leave, because if I leave, I will send you the helper, the comforter, the Spirit of God. See, Jesus just didn't die so that you could have your sins forgiven, and he's sitting on his throne waiting for you to finally get to heaven one day. And Jesus said, I came to give you an abundant life. Yeah, you'll have eternal life, but I also came to give you abundant life, and that life is found in the Holy Spirit. It didn't come from trying to be spiritual. It's from experiencing the Spirit of God who lives in you. This crowd won't even get it, all right? There's a few sitting in the back that will get this. When we grew up, there was this fad of interior decorating design. Every house had, we had lava lamps. Anybody remember, know about lava lamps? Lava lamps are cool. Velvet Elvis paintings, sweet mamba jam, shag carpet. Guys, you complain about having to vacuum your carpet. I had to rake my carpet. Do you understand this? We raked carpet. Literally, we had a rake, and you had to fluff your carpet, and you had to do that every day. It was psycho, way worse. I'll never forget, as a little kid, went over to my grandparents' house, and there was this luscious bowl of fruit. I'd never seen such perfect fruit in all my life. Man, it was filled with bananas. It had this big honking cluster of grapes. Man, it was the same grapes I saw last year when I came to Grandma's house. I'm like, where is she getting these grapes? Until I went to go eat a grape and discovered it was nothing but plastic fruit. And everybody had it in their house. Google it up. Get on your device, connect one more time today, and Google plastic fruit. It's nuts. It looks good. It looks real. It was plastic. It was made by the hands of man. Plastic. And for some Christians, that's the fruit they produce. Oh, I need to be more faithful. I need to be more kind. I need to be more spiritual. And we try and we try and we try, and we wonder why we're so worn out and we're so bankrupt, because it's plastic. It isn't the fruit of Bill. It isn't Bill trying to be fruitful for God. It's Bill dying, getting out of the way, and letting God who lives in him come alive, walking by the Spirit. Too many of us are trying to walk like we are spiritual instead of walking by the Spirit. So how do we walk by the Spirit? I don't know if you've ever been taught this. Let's take a look at it. It says, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh, for the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit. That's our problem. It isn't because you're not a Christian. It isn't because there's something wrong with you. It's because you are a Christian, and you live in a world that's messed up by sin. And so there's a part of us that wants to do our flesh, wants to do fleshly things, and now this new piece of me, God who lives in me, obviously wants to do the God thing. And this is the battle that goes on every day. And so what we try to do is, when we're going through that battle, say, oh, I need to not, I know I'm not supposed to do that. God, give me strength to not do that. Stupid prayer. Doesn't work. Wrong. Walk in the Spirit. So what does that look like? We get down to verse 22. That's when we see the fruit of the Spirit that we saw earlier. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If that isn't what's coming out of your life, that's because the Spirit of God is not in control of your life. If these things, anything but these things, are coming out of your life, that means you and your flesh are in control of your life. That's why we keep doing what we used to do. That's why we aren't displaying the fruit of the Spirit, because we're walking in our flesh and not in the Spirit. So how do you walk in the Spirit? Paul teaches us. Go to verse 24. So those who belong to Christ, anybody in the room belong to Christ? If you belong to Christ, you have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. What does that mean? What does it mean, I've crucified my flesh? We're going to come back to that. Verse 25, for if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. There's Paul at it again, over and over. Walk in a manner worthy. Walk in a manner that's worthy. What's worthy? The only walk that is worthy is the Christ walk. Christ in me, the hope of glory. We saw earlier in Galatians 2:20, a few weeks back, Paul said, man, it's not me living for God. It's God alive in me. We see it again here in verse 16. He says, if we live by the Spirit, if we have this new life because we are now spiritual, the Spirit lives in us, let us also walk by that very same Spirit. So how do you do that? Write down a verse very quickly, Luke 9:23. And if you pay attention real quick, I'm going to let you walk out of here a little early today. Will that give you some incentive? Luke 9:23. I want you to see the next, I show this all the time. Look at the next slide. In our walk, those three circles represent our life. When we're born into this world, we're born spiritually dead. The spirit circle is dead. The body and the soul lives. It's where we find the power of the flesh, physiologically in the body, emotionally, mentally in the soul. The soul is the mind, the will, the emotions, and the feelings. And what we find, Paul teaches, walk in the body. When you think about walking, you think about your feet. You see a picture of somebody walking. That's physiological. But Paul says, walk by the Spirit. So how do I do that? What does that look like? Well, my challenge are the first two circles. You know how most of us walk? We don't walk by the Spirit. We walk by the soul. And we walk by the body. For example, when you go to lunch today, let's say you go to a restaurant, and you walk into this place, and they have the big board up in front of you with all the pictures of the stuff that you can order. Has anybody seen a big bowl of broccoli advertised on the board in front of you? Hello? Have you ever? No. Triple cheeseburger? Yes. Banana split? Done. There? Yes. French fries? Yes. All on the board. You don't see what you need to see. And so they know how to market to your physical appetite. We walk according to our eyes, our ears, our bellies, and our appetites. That's physiological. We also walk by the soul. Our flesh engages. We think somebody has been mean to us. Do we show them love in that moment? Do we lay down our life for somebody like that? No. We either get even or we go even beyond that and we get our pound of flesh. When things aren't going our way, do we respond in the spirit or do we find ourselves responding in the flesh? Cammie was listening to her Bible recap this morning and this lady gave this crazy thing that she does. When somebody cuts her off in traffic, we talk about this all the time, she, being filled with the Spirit, says, well, that 200 square feet of space must be needed by them more than me. And I give that to them in Jesus' name. I say, you're crazy, lady. But that's her way of not being pulled into the flesh. So easy to walk by the flesh. So listen to what Jesus said. Three things, and this is how you walk by the Spirit. It's in Luke 9:23. He said, if anyone chooses to be my disciple, number one, write it down, write this down. First thing is they must deny themselves. They must deny themselves. I'm doing my best to deny myself, and I come out of church last Sunday, and sitting on my desk is a bunch of coupons for Krispy Kreme donuts. I mean, I can get them for half price. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, am I right? Major temptation. I had to throw them away. It was the hardest thing I've done in a long, long time. Man, I was willing to walk from here to Krispy Kreme just to get a Krispy Kreme. But I have to deny myself if I want better things. Number one, deny yourself. You see, our self always wants to be fed. Our self always wants what we want. Our self always wants what's best for us. Jesus did what was best for you. He didn't want to go to a cross. He didn't want to be beaten. He went there for you and for me. He says, number one, if you're going to be my follower, you have to deny yourself. Number two, you have to take up your cross. Take up your cross. A lot of people will quote this verse and they'll say, yeah, this is just my cross to bear. This is just my issue. This is my struggle. You have yours. This is my cross to bear. Mine was my struggle with alcohol. Yours might be a struggle with bitterness or jealousy or sex or whatever. It could be a number of different things. That's just my cross to bear. And we picture this big old burden on our shoulders. And I'm a follower of Christ, and man, I just got to endure it until I get to heaven. That is not what Jesus taught. He said, take up your cross. Oh, by the way, third thing, write it down, daily. It's something you do every single day. And what does he mean, take up your cross? Let me ask you this. Why did the Romans invent crucifixion? It didn't exist until the Roman Empire. Well, it existed before the foundation of the world, if you want to be theologically accurate. But it had never been known by man until the Roman government. Why did they invent the cross? Was it to punish criminals? kind of, bigger than that. They had floggings and other kinds of ways and prisons and debtor's prison and all kinds of punishment for evildoers. The cross was reserved for one category of criminal. It was capital punishment. Nobody was ever hung on a cross and came down to talk about it. Nobody ever survived it. It was your death sentence. So think about that. What was Jesus saying? Jesus said, take up your death daily. See, we don't do that. When we walk where we want to walk. We walk to what we want to walk to. And we walk where we're comfortable. And Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, you've got to deny some paths that you want to walk down. You've got to deny some things that are going to destroy you and your testimony, your joy and your witness. You got to deny yourself, and you got to speak death to it. Take up your death daily. That's what Paul said in Galatians 2:20. I don't live anymore. I die. I crucify my flesh. So in those three circles, if I crucify and the flesh is found through the physiological and the mental, emotional, if I put those to death, what does that leave left in me? The Spirit of Christ. If I speak death to those things, if I crucify my anger, I won't be angry. If I crucify, well, let me finish it. That's the first half of the equation. So Luke 9:23 teaches us two things have to happen. Number one, I have to kill my flesh. And number two, I have to be filled with the Spirit. Kill and fill. And when that happens, that's when you walk by the Spirit. If your flesh is alive, you will walk in the flesh every single time. Take up your cross. Kill it. Watch this. When they hung Jesus on a cross, they nailed him to the beam. They nailed his feet to the cross. They stabbed him in the side with a spear, and they hung a title. This is Jesus, King of the Jews. They put a nameplate over the person who was being crucified, and why? You got to do that daily. Every day I'm constantly fighting things in my flesh that want to come alive. Lord, and I speak it and I name it. Lord, I crucify my desire to be hateful right now. Kill it and fill it. So God, fill me with your Spirit. Make me gentle. Lord, I want to walk in the power of you, Holy Spirit. If I walk in the power of me, I'm brutal. I'm ugly. I'm fleshly. I'm disgusting. But the Holy Spirit is beautiful. The Holy Spirit is loving. The Holy Spirit is your advantage. Most of us spend way too much time walking in the flesh, walking by the soul, and not the Spirit.